Welcome to The Hopeful Connection, a resource connecting you to the disability community. I'm Danielle Coffey, your host for today's episode. I'm Danielle Coffey, here with Restoring Hope. Caitlin's with me today, and we're going to discuss our works program.
Yes, I'm Caitlin. I'm so happy to be here today and do this with you all and talk about the employment services that we offer. I am our employment coordinator. We currently have services in Buffalo, Missouri, Springfield, Missouri, and Nixon, Missouri, and Willow Springs as of last month. So that's really exciting. We are growing.
Very exciting. Yeah. Let's dive into employment services and what that looks like.
Yeah, so employment services is really just a team of people who are there to support someone. We want to make them employable. So we want to teach them a lot of skills, from life skills to job specific skills. And we work in a range of different stages that we go through in our program that help them meet those goals and to reach really their ultimate career interest.
So it sounds like the program really meets our clients where they're at.
Yes.
With what skills they need to develop them into a position that they may be interested in. Can you give an example of a skill that maybe is not job related that a client has learned through the program?
Yeah, absolutely. I have two really good ones that we like to, whenever we start meeting with someone, we want to kind of get to know them. We want to build what's called rapport with them. We want to know what are you already doing that's really awesome? And what are some things that we want to do better that's going to help you at work? So one of the things that we start with is counting money and telling time. Some people already come into the program with these skills, but some people have not. And so whenever you think about why is telling time important? So we have to set an alarm, most all of us do, to get up for work, to be on work on time, to get things done by a due date or by a time stamp. And so if they do not know how to tell time, they're going to struggle from the start of their day throughout the rest of their day. So if they are able to tell time, to set their own alarm clock, to know, okay, I need to leave my house at 8:30 to get there at 9, so I'm clocked in by 9:15 on time. So we want to make sure that skill is already mastered before they get to that point where they need it. And then with counting money, there's a lot of different things that can go into play with that. So it's not necessarily just money, but counting in general and just numerals in general. And so, you know, a lot of people have interests that maybe they're working at a grocery store or they're working at a florist shop. And sometimes you might be put in a position where you need to do the cashier role, even though that is not your exact spot. And I want them to be prepared for any situation that could happen.
Okay. The clientele that we're serving in the program, what does the typical individual look like in the program?
So typically in our program, we see individuals who are around 20 to 26 is kind of the age range we have in our program at the moment. And a lot of them come into the program with some previous experience, but the majority of them might have not had employment experience in the past. And so we want to look at things which is considered career planning. So we want to look at stuff and build up that experience for them. So we might look into things like volunteering. We have several people right now who are volunteering, building up that experience, getting some really good references that they could add to their resume. And we're learning skills, social skills. So, you know, at work, me and you communicate all the time. So let's say a coworker comes up and says, hey, could you do this before the end of your shift? I don't have time today. Well, their shift ends in 10 minutes. What would you say to handle that? A lot of times they're not going to know how to respond to that unless we have covered that. We do a lot of scenarios and mock interviews, things along those lines to prepare for and to learn those social skills.
Okay, so the program is broken down into kind of four different segments. Let's talk about what those look like.
Yeah.
The first being pre-vocational.
Yes, I love pre-vocational. Pre-vocational is something I'm very passionate about because not a lot of providers are able to offer this service. And so if you think of a house has a foundation, and if your house does not have a foundation, it's not going to stay there very long. And so when we look at placing people into positions, I look for retention. So I want someone to be able to find a job and be able to retain that job for a long term. So in pre-vocational, that is when The skills like telling time, counting money, that's the foundation. Learning the basics is really going to help that retention rate. And that's kind of what we're looking at in that pre-vocational stage. And so in pre-vocational, you're able to meet with your job coach one-to-one. And you're also able to meet in a group setting with your peers who are also going through the program. And in the groups, really what your employment specialist is looking for and is trying to navigate is teamwork, being able to work with others. And that's important because in every job, you're going to work with other people.
Sure. And the second phase is career planning.
Yes. So career planning is where we're going to explore your interests. So you might take some assessment quizzes to see what kind of interests you have, which can help better navigate. It might even give them other ideas. So you might take this quiz and someone says they came into the program and they're saying, I really want to work with animals. Well, they take this quiz and they're like, well, maybe you would be good with technology, maybe something along those lines. They're like, well, I do really like that. So it gives them different ideas. And you're just trying to narrow down their interests through that. And then you're also going to look into those volunteer spots. So if someone has had previous experience, they might not want to volunteer because they have some pretty good references that we can put on their resume. If they don't have that, that's when we want to volunteer. We want to build up those job-specific skills that relate to those interests. And we also will work in that period of time on resume building.
Okay. After career planning comes job development.
Yeah, so job development is really fun. There's something we like to talk about called an elevator pitch. And so all of the employment specialists have an elevator pitch, but I also like to have all of our individuals that we are working with come up with an elevator pitch, because in job development, you have nailed down all these skills. You have your resume ready. You're out here talking to and networking with potential employers. And so we really like to make a list of people, like employers in our area that are that they're interested in, and we will go in there and we kind of talk to them and we just kind of try to get to know the business. So tell me about your business. Do you guys have any hiring needs right now? How could we help you? If you ever need any hiring needs, here's my information. Or if they do, we would like to fill out an application on in person while we're there, if that's an option. And so a lot of the angles that we try to come from in this stage as well is, you know, we are not here just to support the client. We also want to support the employer.
Yep. After job development, the final phase is supported employment.
Yeah. So this is awesome. This is a fun stage. So this is once a client has secured a job and they are working. And so in this stage, our client, it's individualized again, and so a client might want assistance for the duration of their shift for, let's say, a month. And we're a month in at this job, and they're like, okay, this is going really good. The employer is really satisfied. Everything's going great. And they are like, okay, I'm going to reduce a little bit, and so you're going to be there for 50% of their shift now. And they're going to do the other 50% independently. On the flip side, it could be the opposite. Someone could get a job and it's not the right fit and it's not going great. And so we're going to be there to help navigate that and help them continue exploring their interests and doing assisting them through this process as it's needed.
So it sounds like the clients, they don't necessarily have to be in one stage at a time. We can braid the different stages of the program together and serve them in multiple areas.
Yes. It is not step by step, one, two, three. We can do career planning and job development simultaneously. And we do see us doing that a lot, and it works out the best that way, I think. We want to get a jump start on job development and start pulling leads as quickly as we can, because when a job comes up, they fill pretty quickly. So we want to go ahead and have a good relationship with employers in our area. So once something is available, they have us in their thoughts. And they're like, you know, someone came in a couple weeks ago. I'm going to give them a call.
Sure. Okay, so you talked about your elevator speech. Give us your elevator speech.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So I'm going to pretend maybe let's say that you are a local business, a local coffee shop. I'm going to go with that. So we would go in and I would ask if, you know, is there a hiring manager or someone present that I could speak to? And they would say yes. And, You could say, hi, my name's Caitlin, and I'm from Restoring Hope, and we offer employment services. I wanted to learn about your business today and see if there was any needs that your business currently has. And they might say no if they're too busy, and I like to get them scheduled to come back and meet with them at a formal meeting. But if they say yes, I'll run with it. And we can go into things along the lines of, maybe they share, like, you know, they do have staffing needs. That's great. What positions are you looking to fill right now? And sometimes you run into employers who are resistant, but I don't take no for an answer. I'm kind of like a pesky salesman in a way. And so if they're like, I don't know, I've never heard of this before. Well, I'd love to tell you more. I think my biggest piece of advice when you're networking is, unless they're like, please get out of here, just keep talking to them, getting to know them. It's relational. It goes back to just getting to know the person and the company, I think. Just trying to pull details and make them kind of just show that you're interested, kind of.
Okay, so when networking with local businesses, whether we're in, obviously Springfield looks a lot different than Buffalo, and Buffalo looks a lot different than Willow Springs, just because the community, the size of the communities are different and the businesses that are in the communities are different. What is the kind of ideal business that you have found that works well with our clients?
Typically, I prefer to find small businesses who have maybe the owners are very highly involved, or the hiring managers have several staff members. But it's typically a small, locally owned business. And I find that works best because open communication. A lot of larger corporations, they have multiple hiring managers. Sometimes we're not all on the same communication wave of, you know, they are through a program and they assist them at work, things along those lines. And so with small businesses, typically it's kind of a streamline of communication between you and a small group of people. And they, if there's anything that comes up, they can come straight to me. Or if I have questions, we can go straight to them. And it's really easy to get those questions answered pretty quickly.
So unfortunately, in the community, there, just in general, there's a stigma regarding disabilities, people with disabilities. How does that impact the program's ability to work with businesses in the community?
Another example of a stigma that can prevent a client from getting selected for a job is, as a floor stalker in many stores, it has dual responsibilities. And that could look like, while you are working the register and busy, that is your main responsibility. But whenever ever there's no one in line at the register, you would go to the floor, organize, stock shelves. And for a client who is nervous to work on the register, that would prevent them to, because they hear that and they're like, I don't know if that's something I could do, even though they have went through all those things. And so an accommodation to allow them to do that would be for them to not have to do that. But once they get more confident, they can move into that role and fulfill that spot.
What would you say are some of the most common barriers to employment that the individuals that the Works program serves are facing?
So I think one barrier that individuals are looking at right now is they're looking for part-time employment, and a lot of people are hiring full-time, and they do not want, they don't see how they could split that up into two part-time roles to make a full-time role. So we're looking for specific hours, specific times, things along those lines.
Can you give us an example of just a time where you've worked with one of those locally owned businesses that you were talking about where you had a really awesome experience?
Yes. So there is a local energy drink shop in Springfield known as Modern Sips, and they are phenomenal. And they have allowed groups of our individuals going through the program to come in and learn hands-on cash register experience. And while we were there, one of our individuals in the program, she is deaf, and she signs, she uses ASL, And one of the owners for Modern Sips is fluent in ASL. And so while we were there, they were signing back and forth, and he was teaching her things on their register. And it was just a really awesome interaction, and it made them feel really welcome and seen. In that same group of people that we went with that day, they had a great time getting that experience on their register. And this took place March of 2024. And about 2 weeks ago, the same individual went back into that shop. So about a year later, and she told me this in one of our one-to-one meetings. And she said, "Hey, I went back into that shop you took us in, Modern Sips, and they remembered who I was." And she was just like so blown away that they remembered her. And she said, like, they knew my name. They remembered my name. And it was just a really positive interaction. And it goes to show how just building that community support and having those interactions with businesses who are supportive and want to remove that barrier has such a big impact on their life and their employment, like their employment goals.
Yeah. And just giving them a place that they feel they belong in the community.
Yeah. Making them feel seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the experience with Modern Sips was really awesome. What are some other places in the community that the Clients in the Works program have been able to get some hands-on experience?
Yeah, there's a couple other places I would love to highlight. The first one is Eden Animal Haven. They are a cat sanctuary, and we have a client who volunteers there on a weekly basis, and they really enjoy it. While they're there volunteering, they get to interact with the cats, really socialize with the cats, and they also have been able to learn a lot of social skills of navigating when customers come in to adopt a cat or anything along those lines, appropriate interactions, and also interactions like when it's appropriate to be on your phone, when you need to stay off your phone, things along those lines. We have an individual who's volunteering at the Dickerson Park Zoo in the petting zoo area, and this has been a really unique experience to watch and see because this individual did not enjoy animals, and she, while you're in the petting zoo area, a lot of the tasks that she is responsible for is cleaning, and I mean, that can be pretty messy, but while you're doing it, the goats are still in the area. And she's kind of learned how to talk to them, get to pet them. And right now at the zoo, she is doing a phenomenal job. And she's really learning on how to make decisions on tasks independently. And after that, I think she will be looking for employment.
So they get the experience in the community where they can kind of say, yes, I love this. This is totally what I want to do.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe this isn't the right route for me and we need to pivot.
Oh, yes. Leading up to this volunteer experience, we had several other volunteer opportunities that we had been discussing with this individual, and she was set on the zoo. So I would say, you know, you shared that you really don't care for dogs, and I don't know exactly what you'd be doing at the zoo, but she was like, I want the zoo. And I'm like, that's what we'll do then. And so she shows up to the zoo with a great attitude. She works really hard, and even though this is not her niche, she has learned a lot of valuable skills from this, and she's going to take those wherever she ends up working.
Sure. At the Restoring Hope Conference this year and the summits that Restoring Hope does as well, the Works program does a coffee bar. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, everybody loves the coffee bar, clients and the people who get to enjoy it. So for the coffee bar, our clients come up with some really creative drink ideas, and they figure out how they're going to make them, how they're going to serve them, all the way down to how much should we buy? How much ingredients do we need? And they do all the planning and preparation on the backside of it, and I assist where is needed. And through this, they have received tips. And so with these tips, they were able to save up money, and they all saved up money to get a ticket to Comic-Con that happened a couple weekends ago in Springfield. And we went to Comic-Con, and they enjoyed it, and it was a really good example of how their hard work can pay off whenever they set a goal and save some money towards it. And I think I've heard all of them say, can we do that again next year? So
they're working on the backside. They get mm-hmm. to plan for the event. Mm-hmm. And then obviously they get to prepare for the event as far as mm-hmm. making the drinks,
yep.
Serving the customers, interacting with them. And then on the flip side, they are receiving tips and they're getting to work on the budgeting skills. And
yes.
then they get to experience something in the community that they've been looking forward to through those tips.
Yes, absolutely. And whenever you mentioned like interacting with customers and the customer service thing, leading up to us doing our first coffee bar at the Restoring Hope conference, we did a lot of scenarios and then like theatrical examples to learn customer service skills. And so we went through things of like, you had a customer come in and they were super pleased and they told you you did a great job. And then we also did examples where a customer came in and they did not receive what they wanted, they weren't satisfied, and they're really upset. How would you handle these things? So working on social skills from that angle, and then how to respond with a customer service attitude.
Awesome. And some exciting news for those that don't know, the Restoring Hope Works program is opening a swag shop.
Woo-hoo!
So we will be making all of the Restoring Hope t-shirts and things like that that are currently we're getting elsewhere. So our clients will be involved in that. Tell us a little bit about what to expect with that.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for this opportunity. And I think this will allow our clients to build a lot of valuable skills and use their creativity that they have. They are very creative. And so what to expect with the t-shirt shop is something along the lines of we'll have multiple design options and we want to have a wide range of sizes offered to everybody. And whenever you place an order, our clients will be the ones that are making that shirt. And that goes into, you know, applying the logo and shipping, learning how to package and kind of follow a system maybe similar to if they ever worked in like in the mail industry or anything along those lines.
Sure. And I would say we can expect that this summer.
Yeah, I think that's a good timeline.
Yeah. Our clients could totally do that, and what a great skill for them to have.
Yeah, I am really excited for this, for one, for all of the merchandise to come in turn, for all our host homes or anybody that's interested in it. I mean, it's going to be made by someone who is learning such a valuable skill, and I think that it's going to be a really unique experience for all of our consumers who are in the program and are interested in doing this. I'm excited to see their creativity come out because we will be able to design like logos and things. And I think we have a lot of people who are really into the graphic design side of things and the creativity. So I'm excited to see what they come up with.
Yeah. I think what I'm most excited about with the swag shop is we had talked earlier about the stigma around disabilities and how a lot of times people in the community, they don't see the ability that the people with a disability has. And I'm hopeful that our clients not only will be working behind the scenes, but I think that they will also kind of be the face of the program. And so we have ideas to get them really involved in the marketing piece of it and getting it out in the community. And I'm hopeful that as we do that, we can kind of help lessen that stigma, at least in our local communities.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that having one idea that I would like to have everybody do is as they're making the shirts, every shirt is going to be made by somebody. I want them to maybe handwrite a note or something along those lines and put that into the package that when we ship it, when they open it, they get to see, you know, this is who made it, or this is an encouraging note from the person who made it. And I think that will help also market that and get that into the community more.
For sure. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the enrollment process.
Yeah.
So say I have an individual that lives in my host home and they're interested in getting a job, but we have no idea where to start. What should we do?
Yeah, so if an individual who is living in a host home is interested in employment services, the first step is to talk with the team, maybe the service coordinator, and they can reach out to me and fill out what's called a referral form. I will receive that referral form and review everything, and we schedule what is called a provider meeting. I like to do these provider meetings in person, get to know the individual and in the host home or the team, and see if they are a right fit for the program, getting to know their interests. Have they had a job in the past? If so, what did you like about it? What could have been different? And go from there.
Sure. What is the typical timeline from the day that the referral form is filled out to the day that an individual may begin actually participating in the program?
Yeah, so from the time a referral is placed till I receive it is pretty quick. We can usually schedule a provider meeting within the next 1 or 2 weeks to get the process started. Once we've determined that they are a good fit for the program and the individual does want to move forward, we will place authorizations through the service coordinator. And I have seen this process take anywhere between 30 to 60 days.
Okay. And so we're talking about the support coordinator, service coordinator. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, what is the authorizations that you're referring to? How is this program funded for the clients?
So this program is funded through the Department of Mental Health's Medicaid waiver, and the service coordinator and I will coordinate to request the specific units that are attached to the services that we've been talking about today.
So as long as an individual already has a waiver in place, they're in a pretty good spot to be started with the program within, 30 to 60 days once they show interest.
Somewhere right now that we are looking at getting someone employed at is called 14 Mill Market. It's in Nixa. They are hiring crew members for the summer, and I've been talking to the hiring manager there, and so hopeful to get some things lined out. Their responsibilities as a crew manager are moving tables for large groups and then rearranging them, cleaning all the stations, all the tables, the drink station, maintaining it, cleaning restrooms throughout their shift. And I have someone who's really interested in that job.
So some of the individuals that are in the WERCS program also attend day programs, whether that be our Excel day program or other day programs in their area. What is a typical schedule of an individual who is in the WERCS program? How much time per week are they spending actually in the WERCS program?
So the time is individualized. So for example, a client comes in and they want to have a job really quickly. They're going to have more time with WERCS throughout the week than someone who is like, I kind of want to take things a little bit slow. And the reason for that is if you want to be employed within the next, 2 months or so, we need to work on some things at a quicker pace. So someone who is wanting to do that, they might have 8 to 10 hours a week. Someone who is wanting to work at a slower pace might have five to six. That consists of individual appointments. So someone who is working at a faster pace might have 2 individuals a week in one group. Someone who is working at a slower pace might have 1 individual in one group.
Would you say that one of the things that we face sometimes, you talked about an individual who wants to get hired somewhere really quickly. Are they coming into the program with realistic expectations for employment, or is that an area that we have to help them work on as well?
If they come into the program with realistic expectations and skills that they have previously have from previous employers, that is realistic to get a job in that time frame. There have been situations where a client is like, I want a job yesterday, but they are struggling in a lot of areas. Maybe it's social skills or it's time management skills, and that goal really would not be realistic. And so I approach that from just being honest with them and saying, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Whenever I come to meet with you, you are not ready for the meeting. And I want you to look at our meetings as the pre-interview for a job. And so when I come to pick you up, if you're not ready, that makes me think that you wouldn't be on time for work. And so just approaching them with what you're observing and being honest with them. And sometimes they will be like, you know what, I think you're right, and let me work on those things. And they can kind of see like, okay, I might need a little bit more time.
So for individuals that come into the program with unrealistic expectations, we've talked in the past, you like to use motivational interviewing mm-hmm. when working with our clients. Can you talk a little bit about how motivational interviewing can help them shift their perspective to maybe it being a little more realistic?
Yeah, so motivational interviewing is a technique where you kind of want to ask questions, open-ended questions that is going to elicit their thoughts on something. So if you are my client and you were like, I want to get a job next week, but when I came to get you, you were still asleep you are not prepared or ready for our appointment at all, I'm going to sit down with you and talk to you and say, if you were to get a job next week, do you think that you would be able to get to work on time? And they might say yes or no. That's a closed-ended question. And so from there, you want to keep drawing information. So who is going to take you to work? How are you going to get to work? Those types of questions are things that we're trying to put together to make sure that they're successful at work. And so we'll ask questions. Okay, if you are at work and you have someone texting you, what are you going to do? And then they might say, well, it's going to be hard for me to stay off of my phone. Okay, we need to work on that. So we're going to go through those questions that match what the situation is and try to pull as much information we can.
You mentioned earlier that the Works program is currently in Nixa, Springfield, Buffalo, and Willow Springs. Where do you foresee the program moving in the future?
So currently, Restoring Hope is also developing a new day program in Warsaw, Missouri. And a while back, we had talked with some of the TCMs in that area about interest in people they think could benefit from employment services. So I think we could foresee our next location being in Warsaw as well.
Do you foresee, we also have day programs in each of the areas we have employment. Would you say that the Works program tends to follow the location of the day programs?
I do think that. I think that we work really well together and we work closely. And that's because at the day program, they are working on daily living skills and things along those lines that are not necessarily related to work, but they are going to help them have a better routine, a better daily routine. And we're able to partner. And so once a person in the day program has reached a point where they're like, I feel like I'm doing really good and I might be interested in employment, that's how we kind of work together and coordinate. And we see a lot of people dual enrolled in both programs because we're there to support them. We offer additional supports in two different ways.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I have noticed that with the day programs, they go on a lot of outings. They do a lot of activities in the community. And a lot of people are recognizing Restoring Hope and the different services that we offer from day program to Works. And there's been a lot of interest, I think, come up, just generalized interest about who are we? What do we do? And that has helped spread kind of what we do and the things that we work on. And that's also getting us better known in our communities. So in Nixa, Missouri, there is a networking group that I'm trying to get involved in who is kind of like, I've heard of this before, but I don't really know what it is. And I'm like, well, let me come and I'll teach you. And so just trying to get involved in those things to be better incorporated into our community.
So if an employer is interested in working with the Works program, whether that's to provide volunteer opportunities for the individuals to learn new skills, or if they're interested in talking with you about filling the needs in their business as far as hiring, how do they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. We are always looking to partner and to build relationships with employers, whether it's in Buffalo, Springfield, Bolivar, Lebanon, Willow Springs. Anybody who might be interested can reach out to me via email. And my email is Caitlin Helmer at WeRestoreHope.com. You can also find this on our website.